house of God with y'all and wouldn't miss it for the world. As we look at it in Psalm 119, you've already seen how several times we've looked at the word word. We're going to pick up with that thought tonight in verse 49, Psalm 119, verse 49. And as we look at the word, the Bible says in verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And I want you to underline that, thou hast caused me to hope. There's a lot of people in this world that don't understand why you and I have hope, and why you and I, despite whatever goes on politically, environmentally, scientifically, or financially, we have hope. And that's one of the greatest things I believe we can have in this Christian life is hope. Now, hope is not false hope where you're hoping for something and it don't happen. Hence the reason you and I don't subscribe to the cults. I know a lot of these cults nowadays, for whatever reason, they have just got it up in their head that they're the only outfit in town and they're the only way to heaven and things like that. And they're led by a man or a woman, depending on who their founder was. But you and I have a hope that they can't understand. While they're busy knocking doors, going door to door to sell magazines or to catch unsuspecting housewives unaware, whatever it is they're after, or weak-minded Baptist, or whatever it is they're looking for, you and I still have hope. Here's the crazy thing. They're not sure they can get to us, but we know we can get to them. Their message, listen, their message is not based on somebody that God's going to scrape up off the bottom of the gutter. Their message is based on somebody that's in church right now. Most churches around here, we don't even know anything about church growth anymore. We're so busy stealing fish out of somebody else's boat. We ain't been fishing in so long, we wouldn't know how to wet a hook if we had to. We've been fishing with a little net. So where'd you get that? Right up there at Walmart. I was watching them do it one day, and it occurred to me that's what we do. All these churches. And looking at all that, I have to say this, thou hast caused me to hope. How'd God manage that? He said right there, remember the word unto thy servant. See, listen, God has told you some things and give you some things personally that I believe will help you to know that thou hast hope. Number one, if you look at this one down at Psalm 119, verse 11, he says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Then verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. We see God using our methods in spite of us, but he uses our methods. I know a lot of times we get the idea that we're doing God's work, but sometimes God lets you do things and get away with things that your method is not his, but he still uses your method. That's how much he cares. And when I say that, I don't mean to be blaspheming the scriptures nor the Holy Ghost by saying that, but there's some things that God has used in your life, in my life, in this church, that was just our methods and it wasn't his, but he let us use it anyway. Some people describe that as the permissive will of God. And I say this, it looks like the permissive will of God on this side of the grave, but we're going to get on the other side and found out it was the perfect will of God, that God used that in spite of who come up with it, and he said, I'll use that. I've seen churches have what they call special days, and in those special days, they'll do crazy things, and they'll put candy on the bottom seat of a bus or something like that, and somebody will get that candy. It'll attract a bunch of children along the way, somebody gets saved in spite of us. God using our methods. Nowadays, that's about all we got is our methods, because dare we stop to say it, Lord, fill me with thy spirit, Lord, that we may have your perfect will in our life. Dare a pastor get down and say, God, I want a vision for this church according to your perfect will. God forbid we should say, I want my marriage to be based on your perfect will, that my children might be brought up in thy perfect will. God forbid we do that. I've seen Christian kids go to public school and do well, and then some of them go to public school and do really, really bad and get involved in a lot of sin. But I've seen a lot of those little sinful kids get punished and sent to Christian school because they're bad kids, and they get over there, and in spite of the method, some of them get over there and get saved. Not the majority, maybe one or two. I've seen pastors go to church in order to brag to their people that ordained them and to brag to the people around town. They'll get somebody to invest in buses and get a bunch of buses and say, see how we've grown. We haven't grown. We've just bust in a number to make us popular. Happens all the time. Here's the crazy thing. Somebody gets saved in spite of that method. God using our methods. I didn't say his methods. I said our methods. Our methods sometimes are very well thought through. I have to say I've read church material that these guys have suggested to me over the years, and I have to say this. It looks good. It really does. It looks like it'd work no matter what. It looks like that's the perfect thing to do, and then we try it, and you come up and you scratch your head and say, I just don't know about that. But then you look around and say, you know, we did get such and such saved through that. Maybe God used it in spite of it. So what do? You back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm glad you used it in spite of it, but Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, remember thy word and thy servant. Lord, if you spoke to me out of this book, God, if you give me something, I need something, Lord. I stand in need of prayer. I stand in need of all this. Lord, will you give me something? Lord says, yeah, I will. Turn over to such and such. He'll get you right there. Or you may ask him, and the walls seem silent, the heaven seems as brass, and then all of a sudden you start reading in the word of God, and God says, here's what I want for you right here. And God gives it to you in his method. I've noticed that a lot of people that, you know, that they try to, you know, somebody prays and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And they do it. And then somebody comes along and says, that works there. I'm going to pray and use it here. And it don't work both places. You know why? God's a God of identity. I read a statement here one time that says, don't die a copy. God made you an original. Right. Use whoever you are, not everybody else. I know people right now that stole everything from their words to their smile from people, and they are you ever seen them letters they put out for serial killers where it says, send money or I'll kill things, and they all clipped out of a different newspaper? That's what they look like after they borrowed from so many places, a jumbled up letter. It may make sense, but it has no tact to it at all. It has no form nor comeliness to it. It has nothing that would symbolize that that's an original letter. Even the message gets borrowed. But I look and see God using our methods. And then here's a strange thing. Some of you would gladly admit this tonight and proudly admit this, that your brain ain't what it used to be. Can I tell you something? Your brain's never changed. It's not you. You know why? You claimed that 20 years ago too, and 30 years ago, and 40 years ago. But as you get older, you're going to find out something. In spite of recall memory, that instant recall, you're going to discover that it's your body that breaks down, not your mind. Your mind's the last thing to go, then your heart, right? Am I right about that? Sometimes the heart, but most times the deterioration goes like that. That little thing inside right here has been about the same size for a long time. You're only using roughly 3% of it. When you get to heaven, God's going to pull up the carburetor there and let you use the whole thing, and you're going to be surprised what you're going to remember then. Every detail. And I notice in his word in verse number 28, he says this, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according to thy word. You ever have something just come to you sometimes and you're saying to yourself, I don't know why I'm thinking of that. It just comes up and you think you need to go back and change things and you wish you could live life over. Listen, it's just God using your memory. And he does, number two, use our memory. Why? Because he uses your mind to put things in your mind for you to have later. What'd he say? My soul melteth for heaviness. Well, if you ever get to that spot in your life where there is heaviness there, you're going to realize that God takes you and uses you in spite of you, and he strengthens you where you're weak. When we come into the house of God, we usually come in on our strengths and not our weaknesses. If somebody says, well, I can do this, I'm good at that, we'll put them to work there, and they may just fit in there. But it may be in them places where you're not strong at all. God will put you in them places and use you even greater because it's something that he's going to have to give you the strength to do. I've heard of people saying all the time that they hear people preach and they're some of the greatest preachers. They try to talk to them and they can't get 3 or 4 words together. Why? That's where they're the weakest. I knew of an evangelist about 20 years ago. preacher friend of mine had him in, and if you listen to the guy preaching on tape, when he says, all right, let's turn to the Bible, such a, he just starts wide open and goes 20, 30 minutes wide open. He says, okay, let's pray. And he'll shut his Bible, pray, turn to the pastor and walk off the thing and sit over there and never say a word. He said, I had him at my house all week. He never spoke. I said, how many, he said, do you like your books? He said, yes. He said, how many books you got? 4 or 5. That was it. Do you like macaroni? Yes, please. He never spoke until he was spoken to. He never told any stories. He never said anything. He just kept quiet the whole time and never said anything. I ran into this guy and I said, what makes you tick? He said, I don't know. I had to see if he'd still do it. I said, I got one for you. I need to know, why are you like the way you are? He said, the Lord showed me to keep my mouth shut. He said, I had a bad problem. That's the most sentence that anybody ever got him in 20 years. He didn't even have to tell me the story behind it after that. I get it, don't you? Sometimes God uses your memory. I know a lot of people don't like to do this, but if you think about all the bad that's ever happened to you, God used that. He either learned you something, taught you something, or warned you, and then you've done it anyway, and now you're sitting here saying, my soul melteth for heaviness. Well, why'd you get like that? He said, because there's a time when you need to strengthen thou me according to thy word. God had to come strengthen you because you were trying to live in your own strength. And then God says, I don't like the way you do that. I'm going to fix that. I don't like the way you rely on what you do. I like the way you rely on me. And then God uses our memory to keep bringing stuff up to us sometimes when we need it brought up. And then sometimes he puts things out of our mind to help us not get bogged down on them. And by that, let me say this. I hear a lot of preachers bragging about how it used to be, but I can't hear none of them how to say it's going to be today. They don't have a word of hope that could say this is going to get better. God's going to do a thing here. I personally thought to myself that when the last president was elected for this one, that we'd see an economic clash. We came very close. I mean, it almost crashed to the bottom. Of course, when it got better, when the next guy came along, he took all the credit for it, as per usual. What if they're going to do that with those bribery charges that came up yesterday? Or is that the new guy's fault, too? Who wasn't in office, by the way? Listen to me. Thou has caused me to hope. Who did that? God did that. How did he do it? Through your memory. Now, listen to this. You may have some kind of disease that dulls your memory or takes away your memory or does something like that, but most of the time, God uses our memory to just really stimulate us and say, I can do it again. I got to reading over there in the book of Leviticus towards the spring of last year and got to just getting deep down in that thing. And I kept seeing that thing with that leprosy and that priest, and I've covered a lot of that here, but it just kept dawning on me. He can do it again. He can do it again. So is there any leprosy reported? I don't know. We keep letting all these people into that border without checking them. I guess we might have some of that coming. If you ever wonder why we want them legal, that's why. We want to make sure they're not bringing something with them that Ajax and Billy Graham can't get off. Amen. That's what we want them. But I look at this stuff and I see that our memory gets shortened and we don't know what to do when we can't remember something. And here's the thing. God caused you to hope through it. Just for instance, we talk about political things. It don't matter who the King of England is and who the President of the United States is. God puts them in office and God sets them up and God knocks them down. God sets people up and puts them in their place where they're supposed to be and God lets goes on. But here's the thing. Everybody is brought into account on this deal, not just the Christian. There will be a time when God will bring every decision, that judge uptown and that magistrate uptown and that governor down in Columbia and that president.